Please remain standing to hear the reading of our text for today, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13. And St. Paul writes, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Here ends our reading. You may be seated for the hymn. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the many blessings that you brought into our lives through your servant, Peter Keir. We pray today that you would comfort us by your saving word and that you would give all of us hearts of faith to look forward to the blessed reunion of your saints above. We ask it all in our Lord's name. Amen. Today, as we mourn the sad and sudden loss of one of our dear friends and professors and father, we think of the old Latin proverb that's been translated, "In the midst of life, we are in death." How much more poignant and realistic could that be than in the case of Professor Keir? He was someone who, outwardly at least, appeared to be in such good health and very, very, very active in life, constantly doing something. 51 years old, but he had to be about the youngest 51-year-old I've ever known. Always on the go. Wasn't unusual in the summers to hear him skateboarding through the halls back and forth from Old Main to Meyer Hall. I remember when I was his pastor years ago, he came into my office one day and wanted to start a chainsaw club. I don't think I've ever had anybody ask to start a chainsaw club in a congregation before. And the energy and vigor with which he taught his classes too. And just the day before his passing, that was probably had some of you right at his feet in classes. And then that morning to be out working on his brand new home for his family to be able to finally all be together again here in Mankato. He was so excited to be back on this campus. Some of you freshmen may not know that Professor Keir taught here a few years ago and then took a stint where they lived out on the East Coast. He was teaching at Harvard and chose to come back and take a position here to start up our engineering program. What a blessing he's been to us. But what a vicious nature we have in death. How vicious death is, how it just doesn't care about who we are, where we are in life, how old we are, what we're doing, how vigorous we may be. In the recent weeks at the end of the church year, we've been hearing so frequently that phrase, "when we least expect it," and how much more real could that be than in Pete's passing. He had survived a bad motorcycle accident just a few years ago. And if there was a time we thought he might have been taken, that would have been it. I remember having prayers for him here in chapel. God had blessed Pete with a tremendous intellectual knowledge. I remember saying to him a number of times, "If I had had you as a physics professor, I might actually have had understood a little bit of physics." His intellectual wisdom led him to ultimately be teaching at one of the most prestigious universities in the world. And yet, he still wanted to come back to this little campus. And the reason was that he wasn't just blessed with an intellectual wisdom. God had blessed him with a greater wisdom, and that of the knowledge of his Savior. And he realized how desperately he needed a Savior. And he showed that all the time in his great love for Christ and his word. And Pete knew how passing this life can be. And he realized how deeply wicked was his own sinful fallen nature, just like all of us. And how important it would be to remain at the foot of the cross. And how important it would be to hear God's word regularly and to receive the blessed sacrament of his Savior. These things were of the utmost importance, far more important to him than any degrees and any prestige by the world's order. God had truly blessed him with a love for his Savior and his word. When he came back this summer, I was so excited to hear that he and Julie and they would be coming back to town. And the first day that I saw him as he came past my office in August, he came up to me and I was so excited to see him, gave him a hug. And within 2 minutes of that conversation, he said this to me, "One of the things that I look forward to the most about being back at Bethany is going to daily chapel." And he told me that he and the family would often listen to our chapel services when they lived out on the East Coast. It's hard to imagine Pete without a smile on his face. One of the few times is when he would be sitting right over here in chapel, listening so intently to the Word of God. But other than that, it's like he was almost always smiling and happy. And if you really knew him, you'd know that that was so deeply rooted in the Savior that he had through faith. It's rather ironic that Pete would leave this life while preparing an earthly home for his family, and at the same time, his true focus was always on the heavenly home that his Lord had prepared for him through his death and glorious resurrection on Easter. And you just know that if Pete was with us today, he would be smiling and look out at all of us and say, "Make sure you're always ready for the day that our Lord returns for us." On Saturday, I had to go down to his office, and on his office door, I'd encourage you to go see it, is a big poster that covers up the whole glass window. And it has some words from Psalm 25. This is what it says. "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation." Emily and Catherine, you are with us today. And please know that our hearts and prayers are with you. And the very same eternal God who has taken your father to heaven and given him the wonderful home that he now enjoys in heaven is the same God who promises to hold you in his arms and guide you safely through all of this. And he will use good Christian friends to help you as well. Knowing Christ is what allows us to live with a smile on our face in a world that's so full of death. Because Christ himself is the great defier of death. And those who cling to him by faith are blessed with that same wonderful defiance of this vicious enemy. Paul's words say it so well to those believers. God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. How much easier could he make our death seem than taking a nap? And how much more wonderful and sure could he make it to us than by saying, "God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep." That same Lord who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die." May the lesson that, one of the lessons that God teaches us through this, is to make sure that each night as we fall asleep, that we do so in the grace of God, repenting of our sins and clinging to our Savior, so that whenever that day may come, unsuspected as it might be, when God removes us from this life, that we will be sleeping in the arms of the great defier of death, the one who says to you, the members of his church, "Whoever keeps my word shall never see death." Amen.